Hi, and welcome to Starting Up Your Engines. I don't think there's a worse feeling in golf than knowing that you are underprepared or left wanting as you walk to the first tee. But hey, I'm a realist, okay? I know that the majority of you are not tour players. You don't have the luxury of arriving at the course 1 hour before your tee time. Have a rub down, hit some shots, stroke some putts, put your makeup on, give an interview, and then stripe it down the middle because you live in the real world, don't you? The only routine aspect about your preparation is in the possibility of getting dressed to play. Okay, but if, just if you manage to get out of the house early, thus leaving you about 40 minutes to prepare for your round, how should your time be spent in those precious moments? To create the right states physically and mentally to turn you on for the round ahead. I love those adverts on TV for shower gels. You know the ones. They tell us that when you rub it all over, all of your senses will awaken. You'll become alive and you're ready for the day. And in a funny way, this is exactly what your warm-up routine should do. Flick on all of your buttons, tune up and tune in all of the skills that you might need to call upon during today's round. You see, we don't want to spend too much time in one department and neglect another. Standing out there hitting a bunch of drivers perfectly on the range is fine until you get to the first, second and third greens and realize that you have no touch. Great. Let me walk you through this waking up process step by step so you can have the security that you really have done as much as you can do on your own before you go and play. So ladies and gentlemen, let's start up your engines. Step 1. Incremental wedges. It makes sense to me, simply because there's 13 different hitting clubs in the bag and only one putter, that you should head straight to the range before the putting green and cultivate your timing, speed, technique and routine before anything else. Incremental wedges simply refers to the different distances and the shapes you will try to achieve in the dawn of your warm-up routine today. There's no need to get complicated and busy. It's just simple shots with your mid-wedge. So, what do you do? That's a good question. So when you arrive at the range, I want you to have a stretch and carry out your normal rituals before you hit any balls. Then I want you to hit your first wedge shot. It's almost a chip, about 20 yards ahead of you. Your goal for your next shot is to hit the ball 20 yards past that first shot that you've just hit. And yes, you've probably guessed it by now that I also want the third shot 20 yards past that one and the fourth shot another 20 past that, etc., etc. Pretty easy, yeah? But it's highly, highly effective in the key areas of your preparation. Reason number one for using the incremental wedge shower gel is targeting. I'm a great believer that you have to find targets interesting. They have to capture the imagination and they have to hold your attention as you warm up. In placing the balls in that holding pattern out in front of you, a targeting interest is created right from the get-go. And you'll also notice, and I've done this with many players like Justin Rose, Kevin Chappell and others, that you can start to form shapes with the balls you have already hit. For example, you may notice after two balls at the 20-yard mark that you could form a triangle with the third by pitching it in between the two existing balls. Consequently, the next time around, you may well be able to create a square from the three balls that are left. Now, this can happen with the second pile, the third or the fourth, but in the midst of all this fun, you have turned on your targeting radar and your imagination is now firing. Reason number two for incremental wedges is derived from its ability to foster touch and tempo. Can you see that it's almost impossible to place those golf balls out there at those equal distances unless you are displaying great tempo and great feel? How do you get great tempo and great feel? The easiest way to obtain tempo, at least, is to verbalize the count between your backswing and through swing. Tim Galway's famous back hit tennis drill is a very simple way to calibrate this into your warm-up. Lastly, feel that the instigator, the engine behind your rhythm and tempo, is fueled from your body motion. the rotating force of your trunk, moving at a constant beat during the bat swing and the through swing. Great reason number three for using this incremental wedge system focuses in your technique. During my career, I have on numerous occasions advised players to work on their full swing technique with only a wedge in their hands. You can check the ball starting line, you can check the amount of side spin you're producing, and you can also monitor the depth of your divots. Now, I'm sure that you have your own fixes for each of these strike profiles, but you must look at it this way, a truthful way. If you are not getting the ball flight and strike that you really want from your wedges, you are unlikely to get it with your 7-iron or driver. So, make this ritual of incremental wedges to foster the feelings that align you technically with what you'd like to achieve. Okay, let's summarize. Make your way to the range. Pull out your mid wedge and start to create those 20-yard gaps one ball after another. Start with a shot at 20 yards, then 40, then 60, until you get up to that 80-yard distance. Then return back to the first 20-yarder and plant your next ball from this distance as close as possible to the original ball. Obviously, you now continue up the line and back down again until you can form some nice triangles, squares, and pentagons. It's a great way to practice and an even better way to warm up your chipping, pitching, and introducing your long game into the equation today. Step two in starting up your engines is finding out where you are today. So from your starter, we are going to go into your second course of this warming up menu. And I want you to galvanize and ingrain the statement into your consciousness in regards to warming up. True North is a great place to start. True North is a great place to start. True North is a great place to start. What is True North? True North signifies the one basic skill you must have no matter what your ability, competitive level, or method to play golf well. It's alignment. Without alignment and calibration to the finishing target, you are running on empty before you even step onto that first tee. So after incremental wedges, I want you to pull out your two alignment poles or the two clubs you are unlikely to hit during the rest of your warm-up. And you know, as simple as it should be, placing these alignment tools down correctly has been a challenge for many golfers. To do this right takes you 25 seconds, that's all. So get the first alignment pole or club and place it directly behind the area that you plan to hit the shots from and have it pointing at your intended target on the range, the outcome, your final target. Now liken this to the gun barrel of your golf club itself. Obviously, place this first club or pole back enough so you're not going to hit it and kill someone on your backswing. Lastly, place the other pole or club exactly where your feet will be placed whilst you're hitting these shots. And I'd like you to ensure that this pole is directly parallel to the existing one on the ground. This club is like the gun barrel of the body. Just take the time today to step back and make sure that pole one is at your target and pole two simply is parallel to pole one. I don't want to be a nag, but take the time, all of 25 seconds, to get this guaranteeable aspect of your warm-up in place. What is the truth behind a warm-up session? What is my real job during this audio experience? I'll tell you. It's to make sure that you know exactly what you're playing with when you go and play today, what you are capable of, and more importantly, what you're not capable of. You could be on a run of great form playing the best golf of your life, or you could be really, really scraping the barrel in terms of your present ability. It doesn't matter which guy you are. It's still all about your present capability, good or bad. So True North, the aspect we've just talked about, is your litmus test for the capability of yours today, whether you're Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood, or Homer Simpson. Where is the ball flying in relation to True North? Once the clubs or poles are down, select a mid iron. Something like a 6-iron would be just fine. And then observe how your golf swing machine performs with those test tracks laid down on the ground. I want you to go straight into your pre-shot routine for 6 shots. Get behind the ball, picture, describe and buy into the shot you want to hit, and then step into the test track and play that shot. Follow this routine 6 times and take note of any reoccurring pattern that makes itself known to you. Is it drawing back to the pin? Is it starting left and then continuing left? Or does it slice back to the target? Ask yourself, what was the average outcome of the shots I've just hit? Do you see a pattern where you should have done? Because physical patterning in golf is actually pretty repetitive and reliable. So, where in relation to true north did these balls fly? You are, of course, at liberty to hit more than 6 balls to get a handle of the patterning of the shot you're hitting. Okay, the next 6 balls or group of balls I want you to hit, once again with your routine fully in place and without many technical directives, will be with your 3-wood or driver. Once again, get behind the ball, identify your finishing target and mentally buy into that shot. So settle into your true north alignment station and go ahead and start hitting. Same process. What are these balls doing in relation to the target again? In probability, they should bear a resemblance to your mid iron. But obviously they're going to go further and any directional side spin applied will be amplified due to the greater ball speed. This is the time to take a pause and have that inner awareness of how your ball is behaving. I really want you to take on board this reality. It's the truth of what is happening today with your ball flight. Now, you have 2 choices. You either dance with the lady or guy you brought to the dance, whether this be a great ball flight or not, or you can apply a technique I call counter-striking. So you, will be at a crossroads at this juncture. You either play with what you have and commit to your probable ball flight pattern, or you try and change it and gain a playing feel for the round ahead. I hope it's the former, but here's some counter-striking techniques to obtain some sort of control over the direction and the strike of the ball today. If your directional control is poor in relation to true north, then get your club face under control. 85% of the ball's starting line is your club face orientation. And although this is not the time to receive a physical lesson over these airwaves, check your grip. If you're spin hooking or pulling the ball left, then weaken both hands and let the club face rotate a little more during your backswing. Since you're putting and adding loft onto the club face during the initial move from the ball. Also, sense that you add a little more cup into the left wrist of your glove hand as you swing back. Get the face neutral or weaker. Conversely, if you're spin slicing or blocking the ball right, then do the opposite. Position the hands in a stronger position on the club in relation to the club face and sense that during the move away, the club head looks at the ball for longer and doesn't simply rotate and roll off of its path in its initial journey back. Strike-wise, you're either flushing the ball, hitting it too shallow and thin, or gouging great divots from the ground through your steep, choppy action. Let's deal with the thin, low, flatline ball flight first. 3 steps to gain instant angle into the ball and create some flight. Number 1, narrow your stance with your irons to hip width. Number 2, pitch your left shoulder down more during your backswing. Number 3, use your hands and hinge your wrists and the club to a 90 degree angle halfway into your backswing. This is so simple and instant, it's like, well, just adding water. You will get a better angle into the ball by following these steps. So for the guy or girl who is chopping at the ball, that steep action, we need a sense of shallowness to the whole motion. So here we go. 3 powerful counter steps to a shallower strike. Number 1, make a series of practice swings where you focus on keeping your head high in both your backswing and your downswing. Number 2, make some practice swings where the club starts 2 feet from the ground up in the air and then maintains that height back and through the hitting area as you make some swings. Number 3, ensure that you are listening to some serious swish through the hitting zone, which indicates that your radius is now widening and thus carving a shallower attack angle through the ball. Step 3, your main course in starting up your engines. Well, it's directing your focus. As we get into the longer clubs, there is a tendency, a need, if you will, to get more technical as the shots travel further. I'm taking an educated guess that there is simply more for you to analyse as the variables on these longer shots, of course, increase. The swing becomes longer and faster, and the need to perform at a higher physical standard is amplified. The need to know more about what you are doing in the long game warm-up is no question, part driven by necessity, but it's also part driven by the ego. Controlling your focus during these times of warm-up analysis is essential, and I'm wagering that many of you listening for the first time will already be thinking, I know what he's going to say next. He's going to tell us you can't have any swing thoughts because you're just about to go out and play and I want you to be free of any technical directive. Well, okay, my first response is that if you can't have any swing thoughts on the practice area before you go out, when can you? Secondly, if you have something you need to take care of, something you need to warm up or prime swing-wise, then go ahead and do it today before you play, because what the hell are you going to do when you get to the 10th hole, 5 over par, and ponder, I just can't get the feeling back that I had on the range last night, or if only I'd figured out my club face was shut during my move away 2 hours ago standing on the practice area. So listen, it's okay to be technical in your warm-up, but recognise this key point. Are you listening? Your focus during this analysis period is what I call narrow internal. You're really scrutinizing your every move and judging every result of every ball hit. This is perfectly natural for you to be in this introspective mode at this time. But you've got to be prepared to shift and focus very soon. Because to excel at golf or even reach the standard of competency, the game demands that you are part mechanic, part artist. Focus-wise, this translates to a narrow, internally directed focus in what you are doing and feeling, to a narrow, externally focused attention into what you are actually going to do with the golf ball and your outcome for it. So this morning, or this afternoon, tomorrow, or whenever, please remember to adjust the lens of your mind from analyst to artist. You try and create and immerse into your pictures and feelings on the golf course. That's what I want you to do, not analysis and wording. So before we go into the putting green, I want you to hit the first tee shot of the course you're about to play. You're going to do this 3 times, but with 3 different feelings pulsing through your body. Feeling number 1 is to sense that you are under pressure to hit a great shot. The world is looking at you. Someone has just spiked your coffee and you're pretty jumpy. So stand up there and picture the hole you're going to play first and hit your tee shot with these extremely intense feelings. The second tee shot you're going to play will simulate the intensity for playing with your friends with some money on the line. There's a little bit of pressure, but nowhere near as much as the first shot you've just played. Finally, the last shot you hit on the range before you make your way to the first tee will have an air of total disregard and freedom. Yes, go through your pre-shot routine, but over the ball, let go of control, take one look and bang, hit it. You have now experienced the very intense, and you have also experienced the casual. Neither in the reality you're about to face can now take you by surprise. It's when a feeling is suddenly met that in all honesty you weren't expecting that you really have the chance of flapping yourself down the fairway and losing control. Okay, time to leave the range and go to the putting green and cultivate some touch and feel, followed by some specific targeting. Your first priority here is to calibrate your own sense of feel and touch to that of the putting green, hoping, of course, that the greenkeeper has had the good sense to keep both the course and the practice green to similar speeds and characteristics. Now, to get the pace down, we will need to hit some longer putts, let's say anywhere between the 25 and 35 feet range. And I'd like you to use 3 balls in this first step of your putting warm-up and just your trail hand, your non-glove hand, in other words, because this caters for the cross-handed putters out there amongst you too. So, just using your trail hand, start stroking some putts one-handed at one of the holes at a fair distance away. No great stress here. You are simply in observation mode where you simply watch what happens to the ball after you've delivered your stroke. And carry out this to 3 or 4 other holes as you make your way around the putting green. As you continue, start to shine your focus light where your awareness is onto the length and the speed of your putt ahead. Now listen, if in these first few putts your pace happens to be good, then you are pretty close to having the length, putt ahead, speed combination correct. If you are experiencing otherwise, then we need to sort out this pretty quick. Speed calibrator number one is to have the length of your stroke under some sort of control or guideline. Try this, because what I'm about to tell you is so simple that I think you should pull the car over because you may have a duh moment, okay? To regulate the length of your putting stroke, simply adjust the width of your stance to measure it against. For example, if you have a putt of merely 3 feet, then take a stance that mirrors the small stroke needed and simply let the putter swing from big toe to big toe, so the putter never breaks the barrier of your stance. For a putt of 12 feet, slightly broaden your stance to reflect the slightly longer stroke this putt will need to pace up to the hole. I don't need to explain this anymore. You can simply see the three-way relationship between the length of the putt, the width of the stance, and the length of your stroke that you will use. It's very simple. The quality of your tempo and rhythm between the backswing and through swing is largely affected by the length of your stroke and whether it is really what you need. 9 times out of 10, poor touch, pace, tempo and rhythm can all be attributed to a stroke that is too long. So use the width of your stance to force this stroke of yours to fall within sensible parameters. Okay, time to get the sensory shower gel out again. 3 devastatingly great field drills for putting coming up. Drill number one that I want you to do today, timelines. I came up with this drill during the 2007 season when I coached Justin Rose to European number one. He was pretty much the best putter in the world at that time. And this drill was in his staple diet of his warming up. Timelining your putt basically introduces the fourth dimension into your short game. It's time. Great short game exponents have had an uncanny ability not only to judge break, distance and speed, but also had the time it will take for the ball to reach that destination. So to start developing your timelining intuition, place both hands on the putter, set up to a fairly lengthy putt, and stroke the ball away, attempting to get the ball resting dead weight with the hole or level with it. Now the key is not to look up until you feel that the ball has made its last roll. Most of my clients, when attempting this for the first time, will always peak early, which is part anxiety for the result and part lack of training with this particular exercise. The trick is to look up just as the ball is making its last roll. Then you will know that your visual time clock and your reality out ahead of you are now starting to blend. Use the timelines. You can also do that on chipping as well. Drill two is utilizing and then denying the visual aspect of your sensory makeup. Start by hitting 3 putts with your eyes, not looking at the ball, but out at the intended target. Rather like the game of darts or 10-pin bowling, you can now visually input the field distance equation into your system. Drill 3 is to use 3 balls again, but this time putt to 3 different holes with each ball so that you don't get stuck into a one distance pattern. Use your timelines, use your open eyes, and even alternate the holes using your trail hand, or the feel hand as I like to refer to it. With your stance stroke length calibration and the combination of these 3 drills, that shower gel should really be kicking in. Right, specific targeting. Okay, we really don't want to hang around too long now, so let's do something very short, sharp and effective and get off to that first tee. Get your marker out or a small coin and place it about 6 inches ahead of the ball. Simply line up the putter to this target and start the putt rolling over the coin or marker. This essentially gives you a true north feedback that we did earlier with the long game. If you can't start the ball on line and hit this target 6 inches ahead of you, then you will need to administer your own fix or take a very quick lesson. I don't have time to get into mechanics here now. I'm already running out of time. So, back to targeting. The 6-inch tester. Can you hit it? Yes, you can. After 6 inches, go to about 3 foot and do the same on a fairly flat putt. Simply narrow in on your target and try and roll your ball over the marker. If you're listening to my audio product number one, First Tee Nerves, I talk about the importance of conditioning. Well, condition yourself to hit a target that's 75% smaller than the hole. Do you think that will do some good? You bet it will. Okay, onto the first tee we go. And let's put this small amount of time to great use. Look, you have a beautiful clean sheet of paper ahead of you on which you can write any story you wish. So what kind of a player will you be? Calm and resilient in the face of a few traumas, or out of control and flustered when you make a birdie or two? Who, what, and how are you going to act out on the course today? Answer this question with a clear picture of a golfer on the PGA or European Tour. Who shines best as your example? Also, use this time to breathe deeply and center yourself. Get some oxygen to the brain. Lower your heart rate down. Breathe, center, and relax. And as you walk onto that tee box, make your practice swings and remind yourself of true north. What was it for you today? Who have you brought to this dance? You have armed yourself with your Counter-Strike practice swings. You have now turned on your touch, and you can now calibrate your putting stroke reliably from greens 1 to 18. So I leave you with one last thought. Which intensity level are you going to be at? A 10? Do you have a gun at your head? No. Is someone's life on the line? No. Or a 2? Do you care? Of course you do. Do you want to be proud of the way you've controlled and conducted yourself? Yes, of course you do. So let's keep it right there in the middle, all day. You've started your engines. Now have fun letting it drive the car.